answers to how. It's all about how. How can I be this? How can I achieve this? How can I get there? How? We have explored all the hows in the world of business. Today, we are changing gear. We're talking about talent. Have you identified your talent? Do you have your talent? Have you identified it? How can I manage it? That's the answer to which we want to provide solution today. By the grace of God, we have an accomplished professional in the house who is going to take us through talent management in the person of Jide. By the grace of God, like I said, he's an accomplished professional. He was with Nestle PLC before he left there. He was the head of financial control in Kakara Distant House. The grace of God presently, the chief responsibility officer of Business Intellectual Reserves, which is a consulting outfit, is also a director of studies in Synergy Professionals. How many business of accounting do we have? Some of them have gone. Business Synergy Professional is one of the tuition house for those who want to be professional, international professional accountant. We have the office in Ekpanredia, and by the grace of God, is also the UK representative for International Assemblies ACCA UK. I want you to join me in welcoming him to the podium, and I want you to listen attentively to the talent, to the session of today. Thank you very much, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am happy to be here this morning, and this is not my first time actually. It's actually my second time of coming here. I want to thank God for giving me the privilege, another privilege, to be here today again. Before I start, I would want somebody to quickly open his up before. But what would be the reaction of the employees? I don't think it would be the same thing. Most of them will see it as opportunity. So what I want to bring out of this, in business, there are two words. Whether we are employee or we are employer, those two words are external to the business. But we look at it from different perspective, either as employee or as employer. Those two words are risk and opportunity. What did I call those two words? Risk and opportunity. The owner of the business will see risk. Whilst the employee, in the example that I cited, will see what? Will see opportunity. Talent management is about getting your employees to key in to the vision of the owners of the business and act as an owner rather than an employee in the business. So if you want to really properly manage your talent very well, you need to get to the level where your people will see the business as their business and see themselves as part of the business before we can achieve our objective. I need the slide to move to the definition. Okay, thank you. Can we all see the slide? Is it clear enough? All right, I will try to read out where it is necessary. Today, the major war in the marketplace is a war of talent. It's not that we don't have people who can work. In fact, in Nigeria, we have a huge population of people looking for jobs. Are we together? But if you look through those who are looking for job, we do not have amongst them talent. There is a talent gap in the country. There is one meeting that used to happen every year in Davos, Switzerland. I don't know how many of us monitor that. Okay, it's called World Economic Forum. Our Minister of Finance and the Coordinating Minister was there this year, and he said, there is no other place in the world today where investments want to go other than Africa. And there is no way you will say you have come to Africa or you have a presence in Africa if you do not have presence in Nigeria. If you look at the statistics of number of graduates that we chunk out in Nigeria every year, you'll be amazed. They are in millions. Are we together? Is that true?
Yes.
And those millions, they are not employed. Then the question is, what is the problem? Is it because there are no jobs? Or because they are not employable? I want the speaker, maybe somebody should help me with the speaker, in case somebody wants to answer one of my questions. And I would like us to make it interactive. Somebody said something a long time ago about career development. And he said he would, like the story I said I wanted to mention, maybe I should just share the story now before I go deep into the presentation. The story about, and I'm about to share, is about one wise man. I'm sure many of us would have heard about the story. A particular wise man in a town or in a village. Let me use village. It's the only wise man in the village that people go to ask questions about anything that is not clear to them. So the man is considered a very wise man, so much revered for his wisdom, and so people ask him any kind of question that bothers their mind. These two wonderful children, you know children the way they could get sometimes. They said, everybody said this man is wise, but today we will test him, we will make him fail. We will tell the world that this man is not really wise after all. So they held belts in their hands, life belts, you know, belts. One held one in his hand, the other one held the other belt in his hand, and they went to the wise man. They have said to themselves before they went to the man and said, when we get to this man, we will tell him, we will ask him a question. The belt in my hand is one. The belt in my friend's hand is yet another one. Tell us, which of these belts is dead? Which of them? And they heard it. So the idea is, if the man says the belt is dead, they will release it. You say, Baba, you are not wise after all. The belt is not dead. If the man says the belt is alive, they will squeeze it and kill the belt and say, Baba, the belt is dead, and you are not wise. So when they went to this man, prepared, very early in the morning, the man was on his way out, and they went to him and said, Baba, we have come today. You, the wise man of this village, tell us, in our hands I have one, my friend has one. Which of the birds is dead? And which of the birds is alive? You know the response of the man to them? It's in your hand. Whether it is dead or it's alive, that bird you are holding is in your hand. That was the response of the man to them. And I think the man is a wise man indeed. Because whether the bird is dead or the bird is alive is truly in their hands. And that is the story that I like to use to illustrate talent management. It is actually in our hands. Whether you are an employer of labor or you are an employee. Now, there is difference between employee and talent. Now, in an organization, when a company is challenged, when a company is faced with difficult times, one of the most quick wins that entity or organizations want to quickly do to salvage the situation is to lay off people. You agree with me on that?
Yes.
When a company is going under, the first thing people will talk about is, so how do we cannot pay salary anymore, so we have to lay off people. So people sometimes will suffer when the company does not do well. But I tell you, they can sack people. In organizations, they don't sack talent. Are we together? So what I'm trying to bring out this morning is the difference between a staff or employee, that we generally refer to them, and a talent. Talent are those people whose continuing survival of the organization depends largely on. Without them, the business cannot survive. In fact, when the business is challenged, they are the one that can proffer solution. They are solution providers. Those are talent. And so, as an employee, you need to develop yourself to a point of becoming a talent. And as an employer, you need to get your people. Again, I need to quickly say this to the employers. You cannot have every people, everybody in your organization has talent. So today, I'll be showing us or sharing with us ideas on how to identify talent and how not to lose them. If you lose your talent, you've lost very big opportunity. I'm sure we agree with that. So talent become important because of the demand and supply for them. The demand for them is actually higher than the supply of talent. What we have mostly in organizations are graduates. They are people who are just looking for jobs, not really talent. So to source for talent is increasingly challenging for businesses, not only in Nigeria, but everywhere in the world. So in this first slide, I'm going to share the slide with as many people as are interested. I can just send it to the King Mike, and then we can forward it to people that are interested. Now, McKinsey Consulting, I'm sure we know McKinsey, you know, they were the one that came with this summary that talent refers to actual or potential employees for whom competition is strong because such individuals have knowledge, skills, experience, and abilities which are in high and low supply. I don't know how many of us studied economics in the house. You know, in economics, when supply is higher than the demand, what happens to the price? It goes down. When demand is higher than the supply, what happens to the price? That is why you can employ two people the same day, and one be earning 10 million and the other 1 million. They have gone to the same school. They probably have the same qualification. Are we together? But one is a talent, the other is a candidate. What is talent? Talent consists of, let me start with the first one. In contemporary usage, talent denotes personal qualities which enables an individual to make a difference. And I want to identify the word, to underline the word difference. You need to be able to make a difference. So if you're employers of labor, you need to identify those people who can make the difference that you require in your organization. Talent consists of those individuals who can make a difference to organization's performance, either through immediate contribution or in the longer term by demonstrating the highest level of potential. If you underline the word potential, in Nigeria today, we have a lot greater potentials. That is one thing that we have, potential, potential, potential. In the systematic attraction, identification, development, and engagement and retention and deployment of those individuals with high potential who are of particular value to an organization. I'm not sure I think I need somebody to help us at the other hand. I need somebody to help us press the poster. Just go to the next slide. Okay. Okay, this is where I'm going. Talent management can usefully be conceived as a pipeline through which individuals pass. The processes for effective talent management are the one that I've listed above. What are the processes? Can we go to the processes one by one? What is the first one? Attraction. Attraction. I would like to talk about that briefly. As an individual who wants to become a talent in your organization, whose destiny, as I demonstrated in my earlier story, is in his hands, you must make yourself attractive
to the employer.
You must make yourself what?
Attractive to the employer.
Now, how do you get yourself attractive to the employer? What is the first point of contact between you and the potential employer, if I may use that word? Can anybody tell me that? Can anybody tell me that? Anybody? Just tell me. Your CV. God bless you. Your CV. I have got people in the house. They even can read the mind of the presenter. Yet before the man speaks, they know what I wanted to say. CV. And I like to talk briefly on that. You need to see how some people write their CVs. When you see that CV, you have concluded on them. Now, your CV should be written in such a way that if anybody sees it, they think you are the best man for the job. The truth of the matter is, whether at interview or at any such forum that you come in contact with a potential employer, the first 2 to 5 seconds, the first few things they see on your CV will determine whether you are a fit organization or not. They don't need to spend all the time. They don't need to spend all the time. The few times they are able to spend, and if there is a marketing tool that you need to get attracted to employers, it is your CV. There was a time I was looking for a role to fill, just one single role. And the role, I required the service of a chartered accountant. So there is this forum, you know, for, you know, professional accountants in Nigeria. They call it ICAN Professional Group. So I told a friend to just send, you know, the request that one organization needs a role to fill and all of that. Guess how many chartered accountants applied for the role? Guess how many? 10,000. 10,000 people applied for one role. 10,000 people. We did not go to newspaper. Don't forget. It was just an online forum where people just chat, you know. 10,000 people. You know, Mr. A will tell Mr. B, and then somebody will tell somebody. At the end of the day, we got 10,000. Tell me, where do we start the screening from? Where do we start? You want to hire one man, and you've gotten 10,000. You're an HR. How would you start? It's a daunting task. So what did we do? We said, okay, people should send in their, you know, no, they've sent the CV. But you see, to open 10,000 CV, you can't finish in 1 week to actually do a good job. Alright? So what we had people to do, we sent another one and said, write a brief profile of yourself. Just few paragraph. Few profile about yourself. It was at that point that we started dropping people. The first, the English language. You needed to see English language. In fact, if at a point I had to close some and ask somebody to please assist in proofreading, let us get at least 100. That is good. So what am I saying? Your CV is your first point of call. And as an employer of labor too, you see, we have to get to a level where we don't have to be, you know, we have to be dispassionate. Let me use the word dispassionate about people that we hire. Because at the end of the day, it is not about them, it's about the business. And so if you want the best for the business, the best is to get the best people for the job and the right people too. The next one is identification. The next is development, engagement and retention, and we have deployment. These are naturally the steps involved in managing talent. So I'll be swinging between the both sides, given the audience that we have. If I were to, you know, do this presentation for human resources people, I would have focused on HR aspect alone. But because we have other people in the congregation who are not also HR, who are employees, we will also swing between those two sides. Now, let's go to what attraction means. It is a starting point at the pipeline of talent management. It entails making and showing the organization to be a desirable place to work. From this context, I'm looking at it from the entity's point of view. If you want to attract talent, you make the organization a place where people can grow, a place where people will be willing to work. If I ask in this church now, If I mention name of organizations, I'm sure there are people that will say, that place, I would like to work there. Not just because they pay good money, but because it's a good place to work. And I'm sure if I mention some sectors that they have vacancies, people in this same church will say, this sector, I'm not going to work there. Are we together? So for those of us who are employers of labor, we need to make our organization so enviable to a point where people will be willing to work in that organization. With that, we can then attract talent. Now, for us who are employees, we need to get to the level where whether we will consult a consultant, let me use consult a consultant, to assist repackage our CV, or we go to people who know how to do it, to do our curriculum vitae for us. It is until then that we know the level of attraction or how much we can get, you know, to be attracted to employers. Now, in the process of talent management, we also have identification in the list that I gave us earlier on. This encompasses a focus on both existing and new employees. Indeed, the first purpose of identifying talent is attraction, and the focus here is not to seek to attract those already in similar employment with competitors, but in targeting potentials for the particular role that we want to fill. So we're not looking for everybody, but we are looking for talent. And so in looking for talent, from the midst of the crowd, you will see the talent distinguishing themselves from the rest of the crowd, as it were. Development. One other factor that can assist in talent management is development. Now, development can come in various forms. One of them is training. Another part is mentoring. We're going to talk about mentoring, you know, in the other part of the presentation. Now, continuous training and development must be a way of life. There are some organizations that have devoted a lot of energy and resources to training their people. As an employee, as a talent, they want to work in an organization where they can continue to train and retrain them, because they believe that there is no end to learning. It's actually a lifelong experience to be learning. This should be recognized as essential to achieve the highest level of performance and to fully achieve potential. Engagement and retention. This area is very complex. It is very, very complex to engage people. Sometimes when you are even open and down to heart with people, they are not very sincere with you, particularly when they are looking for a favor from you. And so how much of engagement you can have with them will determine the level of retention or your retention rate for your employee in an organization. Now, what am I saying here? When you want to get the best out of your talent, you need to actually engage them, probably one-on-one. Let them have the feeling of the future that the organization has in plan for them, if you can use that word. Sometimes, because people don't know what is in stock, what the organization has in stock for them, they tend to leave. I used to have a friend who used to work together in a place, and all of a sudden, he got a job somewhere, and he went to meet the divisional head that was leaving. It was at that point, and the divisional head was very sincere, it was at that point that the divisional head was saying, "But we have plans for you." But nobody communicated the plans to the man. The man got a job that can pay him almost times four of his current salary. And it is at the point of resignation that you are telling him that you have a plan for him. Now the man asks, "What plans do you have?" He said, "We have the plan to make you the assistant treasurer for the whole of the African region." The man said, "Oh, it is too late. I have already accepted the offer." And so they lost a talent. So if you want to retain your talent, engaging them would assist a great deal in that retention. So sometimes engaging them can be calling them during an appraisal system. You know, you have an appraisal system, or during that time, you tell them what are the developmental plan, what are the area of improvement, what are the things, what are the growth pattern in the organization. Let them see clearly, you know, how there's something we call in management, we call it management by objective. Management by objective is by aligning the objective of the organization to the objective of the individual. For instance, you might tell one man that if we are able to make 10 million as revenue this year, all of you will be promoted, or you will get a bonus of 10% of that. Everybody will work so hard to ensure that we make the objective that we have called out for ourselves, because they also want to benefit. They want to earn decent earnings from the organization. In that way, you are encouraging them to work harder and smarter. And in that way, they see that if they work harder, there are other benefits that the organization can also give to them. And they want to do more in that regard. Deployment, that is the final stage in talent management pipeline. It relates to matching talent to organization's demand and requirement. Before you look for a talent, there is a need for a role to be filled. And so the role to be filled, you're looking for the right talent to match that place. And that is where, in for employees, that is where the designing of our CV comes to play. You must be able to say one particular quality that you have that the other candidates do not have. For instance, you may want to say, I am numerate. If you say, I am numerate, you haven't said anything, because anybody that studied accounting, everybody that studied business admin, economics, they have studied a numerate paper. So we expect you naturally to be numerate. But you need to tell us one thing, that special thing that you have, that other candidates do not have. It is at that point that we will look for that role in the organization that you can fill. The truth of the matter is, anybody can do virtually everything. Alright? If you are properly trained, there is nothing in an organization that you are trained for that you cannot do, regardless of your background. I've seen people who studied accounting and ended up in human resources department. I've seen people who studied, you know, business admin and ended up in IT department because of training and interest. Some people actually study the course they were not meant to study in the first instance. Maybe they were forced by their parents that they should go to science classes. Indeed, you probably would have excelled if you have gone to maybe art classes. All right. So when those people find what the right talent is, regardless of what you have studied, you may want to add to it what other talent you have. What other areas you think you can add value to the organization. These are the building blocks of talent management. This time around, I'll be focusing more from employer's point of view. Competency assessment, performance appraisals, succession, and career planning. Those are the building blocks for talent management. This time around, like I said, I'll be talking from employer's point of view. Let's start with competency assessment. Effective human capital management begins with competency assessment at the beginning of the talent life cycle, before someone is hired. What do you understand by the word competencies? Can anyone tell us what he or she understands by competencies? Anybody? Competencies. 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 Yes, you want to try?
Yes.
Sir?
One's capability
to do the job. Any other one? Yes, correct.
Is he or she fit for the role?
Is he or she fit for the role? Yes. Any other one? Having the right skill, correct. Yes. When you say skills, what kind of skill? Technical. And that is one aspect that we need to also be careful about. Skills. That's technical skill. That's behavioral skill. So competencies is not only about being technically fit for the job, but also having the right attitude. I used to have an MD who will fire anybody for the wrong attitude. If you have the best skill in the world, but you have the wrongest attitude, it will sack you. Why? Because he believes attitude is everything. A lot of book has been written on attitude. In fact, somebody did a calculation that shows that all the works All the words in English that you can have together is only attitude. If you make A as one, B as two, C as three, till Z. All those words, if you combine them together, the only one that is 100% is attitude. Somebody did that mathematics. You may want to try it. It's attitude. So attitude is everything. Do you agree with that? So having the right competencies includes personal characteristics, motives, self-concept, knowledge, and behavioral skill. The more complex the job, the more important the competencies. Right? So the competencies here is not just referring to technical competence, but also behavioral competencies. That is competency assessment.
I need this to work. Okay.
It's okay. Assessment enables organization to identify aggregate competency gap of a particular department or the entire organization. Aligning the processes for hiring and developing talent with the unique skills, behavior, and attributes identified through competency modeling enables organizations to select and group their unique brand ambassadors. Who are the brand ambassadors in an organization? Can anyone tell us brand ambassadors in an organization? Who are the brand ambassadors? What is a brand, for instance? What do you understand by the word brand? Can anyone tell us brand? Brand, yes. Brand. What is a brand? The uniqueness.
A brand is a uniqueness of the product or service okay. that an organization gives out.
God bless you. Yes, please. Brand. We're talking brand.
Everything that you use to support a product is a brand. The color, the name, the packaging, the what again? Everything. The product is itself is different from the brand. But every other thing that you attach to that product is a brand.
Thank you very much. Any other? Okay, thank you. Brand.
In addition, a brand is an identity.
Brand is an identity. That is where I'm going. It wasn't flesh and blood that revealed that to you, sister, because you actually read my mind. Identity. And that is what he has said. Apart from the name of the product, every other thing surrounding it, it could be the packaging. It's that thing that you see or that comes to your mind that makes you remember that particular product. Our mommies in the house, and permit me to use this example, please, apologies. Our mommies in the house, when you go to the market to buy a culinary or a seasoning product, what do you say to the woman you want to buy? What do you say you want to buy? You say you want to buy Maggi, right? And when you say which one, you say no. Meanwhile, Maggi is a brand made by Nestle. No, it's another brand made by Unilever. We have gone to the market and say, Mama, I want to buy Maggi. They say, which one? You say, no. That is the power of brand. When you see anything you want to put inside soup, whether it is made by Nestle or not, what do you call it? Maggi. That is a brand. That is the identity. Are we together? In accounting or in business, we call it intangibles. What did I call it? Intangible. You cannot see it. You cannot feel it. But it is capable of bringing money to the organization. Are we together? All right? You know, at the time, there is this particular medicine called Panadol. They have to come and do an advert to say, if it is not Panadol, it is not Panadol. Because when you go and say to chemists, I want to buy Panadol, they say, this one is also Panadol. Are we together? So the company now found that they were losing revenue. Because everybody was saying, I want to buy Panadol. Panadol, Abi, take this one too. So they now had to come with that advert that if you did not see Panadol on it, it is not Panadol. Are we together? If you want to take any soft drink inside a bottle, what do you call it? Coke. If you want to brush your mouth with a toothpaste, what do you call it?
Acne.
Those things that you can see, that uniqueness in a particular product is the brand name. Are we together? Now, competencies. These are the 9 most popular competencies that we have in talent management. We have action orientation, we have communication, we have creativity or innovation, that is critical judgment, that is customer orientation, there is interpersonal skill, leadership, teamwork, which is the last one, technical or functional skill. One of the reasons why we lack talent in organizations in this part of the world is because we focus only on the last. Our environment is increasingly a qualification-driven environment. If you're looking for a job, and I will not blame them too, because I say that should be a way of screening people. Are we together? If you are looking for a job and you don't have any certificate in this country, it takes the special grace of Almighty God. Are we together? If you have gone to school and you have gotten that same certificate, it still takes special grace of God. Because somebody who could not help you, who has no place at all in assisting you, will tell you, you made 2-2. If you have made 2-1, I would have given people. But with this 2-2, meanwhile, he couldn't even help you in the first instance. But because you haven't even made the good grade, he has an excuse not to assist you. Such is our environment. But that is just one of the things that are required. That is action orientation. That is communication. I belong to the accountancy profession. And one of the major challenges that profession has is ability to communicate. Technically, they know how to do the accounting. But when it comes to communication, we found it a bit challenging. It's only a few in that profession that can effectively communicate the same financial statement they are prepared. Creativity. People don't bring creativity to the job they do. Creativity and innovation is asking ourselves the question, what is the better way, or which is the better way I can approach this job? Is this the only way I can do it? Some people will tell you that this is how we have been doing it since we started this company. Then your question would then be, can't we change the status quo? Only those who can question the status quo are innovative people that are creative people that can make things happen. Critical judgment, customer orientation. Every attention on every business today is to be focused on consumer or customers. If you are doing a business and you say your customers are not important, then you are not in business. Leadership, teamwork, technical and functional skill. Those are the 9 most popular competencies that we have. This is not so clear, but like I said, I'll make this slide available. So if you're interested, you can get it. But these are the kind of assessments, you know, that are available also under talent management. I try to make the subject as broad as possible without necessarily, you know, removing any part of it. It's actually a 3-day program. I'm just trying to, you know, suppress it into a 45 or 1-hour period. This is a program we did in Cyprus for 3 days. We were looking at it, you know, with some set of MBA students who were, you know, about to graduate. Peer assessment, we have post assessment as well. These are the kind of assessment that we have under competency management. Then we have performance appraiser. Performance appraiser. How many people have gone through performance appraiser system in their various organizations in the past years that want to share with us what it was like? Performance appraiser system. I'm sure all of us that have said we work in organization, we have one form of appraiser system or the other. Do you have anybody who want to share the process? Not nitty-gritty, just share with us the process. What does it entail in performance appraiser? Anybody? Does anyone want to share with us? Yes. The first thing is for you to appraise yourself, to score yourself, what you think you are, before your supervisor will now give the final mark. Okay, so what I'm hearing you saying is, you print out the appraiser form, you look at the metrics and apply your judgment to score yourself first. You submit that to your organization, to your supervisor, your line manager. It does seem, and the two of you will agree to say, yes, it is true, right? Now, anybody want to share with us how it works in his or an organization again? Yes, please.
Well, I work in a financial institution, so the metrics are given. There are figures you are supposed to achieve at the end of the year. So at the end of the year, they measure what you have achieved against your budget. That forms a percentage of your appraisal. There's also the behavioral pattern that checks your behavior, your attitude, all those kind of things. It also forms a percentage. So your boss appraises you, your behavior against what is expected. That forms a percentage, your figures forms a percentage, and that makes up to 100.
That's Thank you very much. Any other? Just one more. Let's take one more. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Yeah, I work in the career industry, that's DHL. And the first is we look at our KPI, which is our key performance index, and we have certain targets. Did we meet this against the percentage that we're supposed to be? Then the second one is our area of our relationship, our behavioral skills, interaction with our customers, both internal, because I work in the operation department. And then we look at our leadership ability. Then the other aspect of the performance appraiser, we look at our career aspirations. Do I want to stay in this current job? Do I want to move to another section? And then after I've done that, my supervisor, my manager rather, from my supervisor, sit with me and then, okay, Benga, this is what you have done. Are you sure this is, do you fully meet or not? And then we look at it. And areas of improvement, he recommends me for trainings to improve me.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to cite opinion.
In addition, we have what we call peers appraisers.
Okay.
Other unit appraising the other unit
of
their performance and their relationship with their own unit. They intend to know how you are performing, not within your unit alone, but how you are performing your work against the other unit. So other unit will also appraise you.
Thank you very much. Can you give a round of applause to everybody that has contributed today? God bless you. God bless you. Now, an appraisal period in organization should actually not be seen as a period to which hunt people. Most of the time, those are the period that the bosses wait for the subordinate to deal with them. In fact, they will be telling you in some organization that appraiser, maybe your appraiser is in my hand, I will show you. And they actually indeed do show people. But that shouldn't be the system. Ideally, appraiser should be a way of assisting somebody to achieve their career aspiration. Are we following what I'm saying? Now, why the appraisal system? It is being misused in this part of the world. A lot of people have been sacked because of bad appraisers. As a matter of fact, if somebody's appraiser is bad and you are the supervisor, you are supposed to be the one to suffer, because it then means you have not done your job. Because part of your job as a manager is to identify the strength of that man and use those strengths. Are we together? Deploy those strengths to his area of weaknesses and point to that man the area of weaknesses and assist work on him to ensure that he gets better at what he does. That is what appraisal system should actually be about. I used to work in an organization where our own appraisal system is drawn towards the organizational, you know, objective. The organization is also going through an appraisal system with its board. The board will set the agenda normally at the beginning of the year and give it to the CEO and say, the CEO, this is what I wanted to achieve this year. That is why the man is called CEO anyway. You know, the word CEO stands for Chief Executive Officer, right? That means he has to execute the strategy of the board. The board will give him the strategy. The major work of the board is to formulate the strategy for the organization. So once they formulate the strategy, they give it to the CEO and say, execute. The CEO cannot do it alone. He needs people to work with him. He shares the objective that the management or the board has given to him to all his people and says, these are the things that the board has asked us to achieve this year, and everybody will share it. On a periodic basis, not necessarily at the end of the year. It could be monthly. In some organization, they do it on a quarterly basis. Some places they do it half year and then at the year end. The appraisal system is just to enable us to see where we are, what we called out to ourselves that we want to achieve at the beginning of the year, and where we are on it at a particular point in time. And if there is a trajectory that we are seeing that we probably do not expect to see at the end of the year, we could make the correction before it is too late. That is why the appraisal system should be a bit more frequent, maybe quarterly rather than half yearly. Because half year, you may not be able to probably stand to die, you know, before the year runs out. So now, it should not just be once a year drill mandated by personnel department. However, it should be an ongoing process and not merely as an annual event. It should be a conversation that should happen more frequently. In some organizations, they do it, you know, on a quarterly basis, like I said. Performance appraisal model that can identify talent that make people to want to stay can be divided into four phases. The first phase is performance planning. At this level, people will plan what they want to achieve. The organization will call out specifically objectives for people in the area of, if you work in financial institution, for instance, in the area of revenue generation or drive, this is what we want you to achieve. In the area of error rate, if you work in operations department, like you mentioned, this is what we want you to achieve. Zero error-free transaction. They will call it out at the beginning of the year. So at the end of the year, or on a monthly or quarterly basis, they will look at number of errors committed versus the zero that we have called out to be the benchmark, and measure performance against such. Performance execution. This is the actual performance of the job. Then performance assessment. Then we have performance review. So for every performance appraisal model, they should follow these four phases. And of course, from what people have said when we ask them about performance system in the organization, those are the things that they have mentioned. Talent management and succession planning, like I said, goes hand in hand. What do we understand by the word succession planning? Can anybody share with us what he or she understands by the word succession planning? Succession planning. Succession planning. Yes, please. Succession planning.
I have like 10 more minutes.
Succession planning.
It is believed that at every point in time,
yes,
there should be a subordinate to a manager who is understudying the manager, in order that when the manager goes up or goes out,
it takes over. God bless you. That is succession planning. So in every system that talent would like to work, like I said earlier, I gave you an example and I shared the story of a friend who were working together and got another job, and they said they have plans for him. The truth of the matter is that they actually have a plan for him, but there was no communication to that effect. So the man did not know that there was a plan for him. Now, if it's an organization where succession planning is communicated, it is not also right, and we have to be very careful about this, it is not also right to tell the other man that when I leave, you are the one that will succeed me. I don't think it is right. Just like a king, unless it is Ibadan, I don't see where they say you're going to be the next king after me. But I think they do that in Ibadan. That's the only place they do it. Eh? Exactly. So, Odun takes over from Olubadan. That's only in Ibadan. In business world, it's not done that way. You don't tell him first, but you let him have a feel that there's a plan for him. You probably ask him that there's most international organizations today, what they do is they will actually ask you to tell them what is your career path in this organization. So yourself, you have a career aspiration. You will write it out that in the next 10 years, I want to be the MD of this company. They will allow you to do it. And they will be telling you every year during your appraisal that if you want to be the MD in the next 10 years, then you are not supposed to be here at this point of the year. If you want to be the MD, these are the qualities that we expect of our MDs. So you begin to go and gain those experiences. Somebody actually resigned from that organization to go to somewhere else, to go and learn. He told them he wants to resign so he can go and learn the skill that he required to be the MD of that company, you know, before he came back. And they allowed him to resign. And at the time after he has done the learning, that he called out to learn, it was reabsorbed back into the system. So there are systems like that, and many people want to work in such an organization because they truly believe in people, and people also have some level of trust in them. So succession planning is just a way of saying we have identified future leaders in this business. You can communicate to those future leaders and also let them know before it is too late, because if you don't let them know, they may go. What did I say they may do? They will go. So the best thing to do is to still let them stay. Now, other issues are career planning, all right? And you can also do this also in managing talent for the organization. Then, these are six signs that your organization needs career planning. You can look at all of this later. Because of our time, and I really do not want to take much of our time. How do you establish a talent management culture in an organization? We have all of the steps, you know, that we have called out here. Now, these are the ways to drive talent management culture. Reverse mentorship program. Just ask. Start with the job description. Then we have position titles, and we encourage celebration. Sometimes when you encourage celebration, when people perform, you want to encourage them to keep performing better. You also want to encourage them. Coaching and mentoring, workforce development, top talent development, then we have 360 degree feedback. All right? And those are the ways, the process of talent management in organizations. I've explained all of those in this class as well. Like I said, I don't want to waste so much of our time again. We have this, you know, like I said, we'll share it. I just want to go to the other part of the, because my time is fast spent. Like I said, this is a 3-day program. This is three main activities that are involved in training and development. We call it T&D. Training, education, and development. You may want to look at that as well, you know. Then, we have what we call workforce development. Stage one is job analysis, job development, performance management, we talked about that. Then we have stage four, which is career planning. All right? And I think we also have top talent management issues, which I also mentioned here. How do we attract top talent? A great story. Brand, we talked about brand the other time. An environment that speaks to personal growth and work that has meaning. The last time I was here, we talked about work-life balance. Are we together? We talked about work-life balance. If you see an organization where they do work-life balance too, you want to really work there. Increasingly today, most companies are encouraging people to be able to work from home. They want people to work from home. They want to increase, for instance, for women, when they put to bed, you know, they have maternity leave. They want to give them some lesser hours to work after maternity leave to take care of their home. Those are work life balance issues. Then we have what we call 360 degree feedback. Under this 360 degree feedback, you allow, this is a typical process of 360 degree feedback. You allow a boss to rate a subordinate, and you allow the subordinate again to rate the boss. I'm sure if you use that in this part of the world, they would have sacked a lot of bosses. Alright? But some organizations actually use it in practice. 360 degree feedback. Alright? I would like to stop there because of time and ask if there are questions that we can ask before we end.
God bless you, sir. How many of you are blessed already? And how many of